Well, again, there's a lot of wonderful verses in that psalm to consider. Vicki highlighted a few of them for us. Thank you, as she was reading it. But let me just say, the verse that kept sort of rolling around in my head, or maybe even more so in my heart this week, was the final verse there, verse 20. Let the nations know they are only human. I think that's an interesting thought, a reminder. Let the nations know they're only human. And one of the things that says to me is nations are human constructs. We all know that. Borders and boundaries are always changing. Countries are coming and going. Nations are coming and going. I was thinking this week about a class I took in high school, 100 years ago, which was called World Affairs. And we had to memorize every country in the world and pick them out on a map. And, I went back and, about a third of the countries that I had to memorize, it wasn't quite 100 years ago, but, a while back, are gone or have been changed. I mean, places like the Balkans or the Soviet Union is no longer Soviet Union. Now it's separate countries. Boundaries and borders are always changing. If you know your history of the early part of the 20th century and World War I, part of the Treaty of Versailles was the victorious nations just sort of carving out countries there that were still dealing with the effects of that arbitrary division. It's true, I think, in the Middle East in many ways as well. The actual creation of nations and countries are fluid. I mean, even this country, through our history, the borders kept changing as it went west. And of course, then they encountered an ocean, and then they took land away from the British and the Mexicans, and now we have the borders we have today. But borders, nations, they're all human constructs. I think that's part of what's in this verse, about the nations are only human. But also the idea that the inhabitants of any nation, every nation around the world, are human beings, just like us for the most part. Although they may look different and have different customs and different languages, we're all humans. And this led me as well to the reminder of the Christian perspective. And let me just say, particularly the Christian perspective, the perspective, I think, of Scripture on some of the news of this week. And there's been a lot of news about our border and the immigration issue, but particularly this issue of not just the treatment of people, but particularly the treatment of children at our border. And I want to put the politics, and by that I mean the partisan stuff, put that aside. Because again, that's all human construct as well. What is the perspective from Scripture, from God's kingdom, from Jesus about these sorts of situations? I believe as Christians, whether you support the current administration or not, whether you think the news media is lying to you about the situation or not, the fact remains as Christians, if there is even one child being mistreated in our name on the border, to me, that's one too many. To me, the Christian perspective goes beyond any national perspective or borders and says anyone in the world, but maybe especially those who want to come to this country, are deserving of love and respect and dignity. I mean, even if we have to say to them, our laws say we can't let you in, that's a whole nother issue. But again, we'll put that aside for the moment. I do think there's a way to create immigration law and policy that is loving and treats people with respect and decency. But no matter what the laws may be, can't they be done lovingly, respectfully? And certainly some of what's happening at our border is not that at all. Families being separated, people being detained, people seeking asylum being treated like criminals. There's something basically, from the Christian perspective, troubling at best about that. So to me, that's part of the perspective here. The nations are all human. Anyone who comes anywhere, but particularly to our borders, is a human being. Regardless of whether we allow them in under our current laws or not, can't they be treated lovingly? Especially children, innocent children who don't have control over whether they've come here or not. Nations are human constructs. Our higher loyalty is to God and to the values of God's kingdom, of love, treating everyone with love. Now, again, let me just parenthetically say, I believe as a nation founded on principles of freedom and liberty and equality, there's also something wrong with the way we're treating people. But again, let's put that aside. I'm speaking from the biblical Christian perspective. Are we showing love? Our highest loyalty as Christians is to God, not to country. Too often we, I think, let nationalism get in the way of love. But nations are temporary, human constructs. Even the greatest empires in history, if they lasted 1,000 years, are no more. They come and go. Our loyalty is to the eternal, the divine, to love. And another troubling aspect is some of the responses to these issues that I have seen written on social media, heard people say. Ideas like, well, those children at the border aren't our children. Well, as Christians, they are our children. As human beings, they're our children. We're all one family. And I would suggest to you, and this is biblical as well, Jesus said, if you only do good to those who are good to you, what credit is it to you? Jesus also said, let the little children come to me. He also said, if you impede any of them, that's a stumbling block. He also said, whatever you do to the least among you, you do to me. I would suggest to you that if, let me put it this way, you can't love children if you only love your children. I've also heard comments like, well, we should let immigrants in, but only the good ones. Who's going to decide that one? Part of the problem with our human, getting caught up in the human stuff of this world, nations, even institutions, the church does this too. Once we start drawing these boxes and these divisions and these limitations, where does it stop? They start getting drawn narrower and narrower. And the time may come when some of us find ourselves outside of those boundaries as well. I mean, you remember the famous quotation about, you know, first they came for the Jews and then they came for, you know, insert your favorite ethnic groups that are oppressed. They came for them and them and them, and then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak up. That's human behavior. That's not God's perspective. In God's eyes, we're all not just human, we're all children of God. And again, if even one child in the world is suffering, I believe God is suffering and would ask us to do whatever we can to help. I have been for months intending to call to apply to a particular program. It's called, you can be a guardian ad litem. You may know that term. It's an advocate in the courts for children. And I've been meaning to do this for months and months and months and just didn't. There's actually an article that was in our local paper months ago that's hanging on our bulletin board, by the way, about how to do this. I'd had that on my desk for months. And this week I was thinking, what, you know, I don't know if I can do anything to help particular children at the border, but you know what? I can finally get off my rear end and make a call and apply to be a guardian ad litem in the court system and help some child somehow. You have heard in recent weeks, and we'll hear and keep hearing from Carol and Susan and others about these boxes that are being packed for families and particularly children in our county here in the summer when they're not in school getting meals. I know there are programs in our county to read to children and other ways to help. Whatever little bit we can do, recognizing that we are all one family, is important. So let me conclude with some homework for you for the week. Find some way this week, I would encourage you, find some way that you can help a child that you are not related to. And then maybe next week, help another one. And then maybe the world begins to change. Amen.